Good morning. It's Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. Governor Hogan shared a lot at his press conference Monday. He went beyond announcing that doctors have diagnosed him with an advanced aggressive form of cancer of the lymph nodes. He told us the cancer already has spread to dozens of spots in his body, that he doesn't feel much pain, but he doesn't have much appetite, that the aggressive chemo his doctors plan will take a little over 4 months, and that the experts gave him good odds of surviving the non-Hodgkin's lymphoma and clearing it from his body. Perhaps the message he underscored most often was that he intends to keep working while he's undergoing treatment.
The fact is, I'm just like the more than 70,000 people diagnosed with lymphoma every single year who fight it, beat it, and continue doing their jobs at the same time.
Since Governor Hogan is the boss, he may have more say than many workers in how his cancer treatment plays out at the office. Johns Hopkins Medicine has recently launched a program called Managing Cancer at Work, a wellness benefit employers can purchase to offer free to their workers. And with us to talk about the issues cancer raises for workers, caregivers, and their managers is one of the cancer experts who designed the new program, Lily Shockney, a registered nurse who is administrative director of the Johns Hopkins Breast Center and director of cancer survivorship programs. She's also survived 2 bouts with breast cancer. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And also here is Laurie Singer-Severs, a filmmaker and TV producer who serves on the advisory board of the Johns Hopkins Kimmel Cancer Center and produces their education and caregiver videos. Welcome back to the show, Laurie.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Lily Shockney, some people may have heard the governor describing his diagnosis and his determination to take minimal time away from work and wondered how realistic that was. How common is it for workers to continue at work while they're being treated for cancer?
I think the commonness is growing, and I think that's actually a good thing. Whatever we can do to maintain normalcy while undergoing cancer treatment, that actually from a mental health perspective is a smart thing to do, and also physically is a smart thing to do.
Physically too?
Yes, absolutely.
Why?
Because normalcy reduces our stress. We're adding one stressor, which is the cancer diagnosis and treatment. Whatever we can do to maintain normalcy with the rest of our life will reduce our anxiety.
There are a lot of elements to this program, Managing Cancer at Work. What's the best way to describe it to people, what you're doing with this program?
So it is an employee benefit. We decided that it was something important that we wanted to do for our own Johns Hopkins family employees. We recognize the fact that 1 in 2 men and 1 in 3 women will be diagnosed with a life-threatening cancer sometime in their lifetime. More than 40% of those individuals are under the age of 65 and working full-time outside of their home in a business. So we also know that from a financial perspective, it's very difficult for people to take off large blocks of time. I don't think that very many people plan to get cancer, despite the fact that those statistics I just gave are very real, but people need their paycheck whole, they need their health insurance intact, and their second family are the people that they work with, including their boss and their coworkers. So that's part of their support system as well.
So why did you see that there was a need for a special program to walk cancer patients, their caregivers, and their managers through what?
Yes, what we learned, and we did focus groups and actually some research as well in taking a look at this particular issue, is that for the most part, managers have no idea what to say or how to support their employee. Employees don't even realize that for the most part, cancer treatment today does not cause the side effects that it did a decade ago. So when I'm talking to a newly diagnosed breast cancer patient, once we get over the discussion of, am I going to live through this, it's, how much time am I going to miss from work? I don't have a lot of sick days. Or it really is important to me to still be at work. I love my job. Can I do that? So dovetailing the treatment plan with a flexible work schedule is very doable, but it requires a conversation between the employee and their supervisor. So this web-based platform that we built, which is very robust with a lot of educational information on it, from prevention and early detection, ways in which you could reduce your risk of getting cancers, what should you do when you get diagnosed, and understanding how does that diagnosis take place, as well as some basics about treatment. And there's information how to have that dialogue with your supervisor. And it shouldn't be just one conversation. This needs to be an ongoing dialogue over many months. We have videos to also show how to do that type of role playing. And there's also a special portal for managers to be able to understand what their role is and responsibilities, such as discussing accommodations for that employee so that they can work through their treatment. If you were getting radiation every day for 6.5 weeks, and you call the scheduler doing radiation, the scheduler may book that patient for 1 p.m. every day, which means it's going to cut right in the middle of their workday. But radiation usually begins at 7 a.m. and ends at 6 p.m., so you can get it done before you go to work or after you go to work without disrupting your workday.
On WIPR, this is Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with Lily Shockney, an RN, two-time breast cancer survivor, administrative director of the Johns Hopkins Breast Center, and co-creator of a new program called Managing Cancer at Work. Also with us is Laurie Singer Sievers, who serves on the advisory board of the Johns Hopkins Kimmel Cancer Center. Laurie, what went through your mind when you heard how candid Governor Hogan was in his press conference on Monday?
Well, first of all, I applauded him for his candor because it's very important to be honest in cancer these days. Used to be the big secret. No one would talk about the disease. I gave him full credit for coming out and discussing this in a very open, candid way and in great detail, which was a very brave thing for him to do. He could have simply walked out to the microphone, announced that he had a health problem and he was going to be dealing with it privately, and turned around and walked away, not taking questions, not getting into details. Instead, he stepped up, he stepped forward, and he joined a community that need leadership, needs leaders in cancer care and in cancer honesty. And he joined the cancer community the other day when he made his announcement. And I thought back to the courage it took for him to be at that microphone, because as someone who was married to a man who was also part of, in many ways, the public eye. My late husband, Leroy Sievers, was the executive producer at Nightline at ABC News and was a longtime journalist, and led a great staff of people who he considered to be his second family as well. And I know what we went through when Leroy was diagnosed. There were many different layers, levels of having to tell people what had just happened, how our lives had just changed. And, you know, it starts with the family. So I know the governor had to, you know, give the news to his family, which had to have been a very, very difficult thing to do. And the diagnosis, the prognosis, what he would be going through in treatment, that was hard enough. But then you go through the next level of family and friends and who to tell. And that's a very stressful thing too when you're a public figure. And then from there, he had to then think of the people who voted for him, the campaign people, the staff of his office, the voters of Maryland. He had to figure out how do I do this? And I'm sure his staff began quickly to, you know, gather together, decide how are we going to do this. So he had various levels of having to share this very traumatic news with different people, which was a very difficult thing for him to do. And you could tell in his press conference, there were times where he got very emotional and tried to kind of swallow his tears. I mean, he was a very emotional man at that point.
And I get that it's difficult, but Lily Shockney, I must say, I'm also, after spending some time on your website, thinking, how public does it make sense for a worker to be? How candid in those conversations you mentioned with the manager? You have one of the videos on that website tells the story of a worker who's a manager who says in this video, I think I shot myself in the foot by being candid with my manager, because she said, I've been sidelined. Basically, you know, I'm not on the management track anymore. And people are asking me, when are you going to retire? So, I mean, I know you are a medical person, a legal person. First of all, does someone being treated for cancer have legal protections on the job?
Absolutely, they do. And one of the things that we need to take the time to educate supervisors and managers, wherever that they work, are what are those federal laws that do protect an employee while they're undergoing some type of medical crisis?
You talked, Laurie, about the courage that you saw in Governor Hogan. If you were advising an ordinary person at work, you know, middle employee, how candid should they be with their boss, with their coworkers?
Oh, I think it's important to be candid. The most important thing when you're living with cancer is to stay in the moment, be normal, be the person you were before your diagnosis. The worst part of cancer is the loss of control that you have in your life, because all of a sudden there are so many things to do that people are making appointments for you, and there's treatments, and there's things that you have to do. You have to follow a new order of the day. So it's very important to keep that normalcy in your life, and being candid with your coworkers and your office managers is very important. And you need to say to them, I'm not any different than I was 24 hours ago. I now have a diagnosis of cancer, so please don't treat me any differently.
We have just a few minutes left, Lily. What advice would you give ordinary people about whether they're taking a risk in being candid with their work coworkers?
To first understand what their rights are as an employee. I do think that it's important to have candor. They need to communicate with their HR staff to find out what their benefits are for that particular business where they're working. And if they have an issue, which you mentioned did happen to someone that we did video, not someone who was employed by Hopkins, but a patient we've been taking care of, that they, again, do have rights. So we need to educate folks. And the website, as you mentioned, managingcanceratwork.com.
We will link to that on our website. I'm sorry, we are out of time, and I'm so grateful to you both. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Lily Shockney, an RN, two-time breast cancer survivor, administrative director of the Johns Hopkins Breast Center, co-creator of this new program, Managing Cancer at Work. Laurie Singer Sievers, her late husband's chief caregiver, serves on the advisory board of the Kimmel Cancer Center. More information at our website, wypr.org. Stay with us here on 88.1.